This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Yep, yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Scarface is in the building. Collectively, we are the Ghetto Boys.
Reloaded.
Reloaded with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Charles Big Angry Adams and Cody McCubbin. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us, man.
Okay, man,
thank y'all for coming by. For real.
So let's put the titles out there.
Yep.
Charles is a lawyer.
Yeah.
A big angry lawyer and former judge former and judge. Police officer.
Yes. Yeah, he was a cop.
Yes.
Fuck.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I had no idea.
I was a South Houston from 94 to 2000.
Yeah.
You beat a bunch of motherfuckers up, didn't you?
No, I was actually pretty nice.
Man. Okay.
It's worse. You know, big guys.
Man, you
big guys.
Big guys
are the pussies, man. Like, big guys get by on being big guys. It's the guys your size that are always fighting, always and people are like, okay.
Right. Good point.
Willie, what the fuck does that mean?
What you mean?
I don't start no trouble. You're like, yeah, good point.
I'm just saying the guys your size are usually the ones that got the best hands, man. That's a compliment, man. I'm not saying you're the angry one, but y'all got better hands because y'all are more often in the situation where people are throwing hands, right? Whereas me, it's presence and bravado, it's bluster, it's fake, it's false.
So I hear that side, but I also hear the side of those guys having shot man
complex. Oh, yeah, Napoleon complex. I'm just trying to be nice, right? Like the little short cops, one of my oldest friends is like 5'6", 5'7", and he's calmed down. And he's probably 5'4", I'm being generous, right? But back in the day when he had that spiky little hair, you know?
That's weird.
He was angry. Yeah. But now, calm down.
Cody, you are a former Sandy Hook's school board member.
Right.
I want to get right into this this gun control issue. Okay, so I want to ask you guys straight out the gate. I can start with you, Cody.
Sure.
Is gun reform necessary?
I don't know if it's necessary. Necessary is, it's different. It's whether it's, what kind of gun control are you trying to talk about and trying to do? It's not so much necessary, but what's realistic.
Okay.
I always try to approach it from a sense of like, what could you really honestly do that makes a difference?
Well, then what can you really honestly do?
My opinion?
Sure.
Probably not much, to be really honest.
Wow.
I mean, I know that's kind of a deep kind of position, but I think you have to look at this as, look, there's over probably, and you can confirm this, right? There's over 400 to 500 million guns in this country. No way you're going to get rid of them.
I mean, there's no way to get rid of guns, period. you know, but you have personal protection and then you have assault rifles. The root word in assault rifle is assault.
Right.
All right.
But so, you have probably 20 to 30 million of those rifles in production or even in existence currently.
Yeah.
The problem with guns, right? This is the biggest issue with guns, right? Is that they don't expire. They don't wear out. Very rarely do they break. They're very simple mechanisms, right? They're not very complicated. If you've ever worked on any kind of firearm, you could realize, yeah, these are pretty much a very basic, you know, contraption.
I can take mine apart right here and show you all the springs and shit in it.
Right. So and I'm a collector. And, even though I was at the school board at Sandy Hook, I collect guns and I have guns that are over 100 years old that are just as effective and work just as well as they did over 100 years ago.
Damn.
So if you're going to talk about getting rid of gun violence in a really massive scale, I don't have the answer. And I don't think anybody else has the answer either, because they're so pervasive within this culture that it's very unlikely that you can make a dent. I'll give you a number. Mm-hmm. So it takes one gun in this country or 10,000 guns in this country constitute one murder. So every 10,000 guns equals one murder. You have to pull 10,000 guns off the streets before you affect one life.
Damn.
So, but that's just, it's a numbers game, right? So how many are you talking about having to get off the streets? Now, when you have somebody who does these gun buybacks and these purchases off the streets, you have to buy back, let's say if it's at $100 a clip, you're talking $1 million just to affect 10,000 guns.
So there's a difference between achievable solutions and what you think the solutions are. Well, what do you think is, so you were on the school board of Sandy Hook when the massacre happened?
Absolutely.
Okay. What do you, as someone that's been through that horrible thing, right? And what do you think the solutions for America are moving forward to try to limit gun violence on campuses and throughout society as a whole? Because if you look at school shootings, they're horrifying, but only a very small sliver of gun violence. So instead of talking about what you think is achievable, because I agree with you, I don't think much of anything is achievable. I think both parties just want to have us at each other's throats while not doing anything, because it's about maintaining power and feeding at the taxpayer trough. But what do you think the solution? Do you have a personal feeling what the solutions are for America?
The only thing I can possibly look, these horrific events are usually caused by somebody who's usually way out of their mind, right? And I've come at this with a sense of, you know, look, and this is maybe not the best answer, but it's the only thing that I can think of is that, look, in the past we don't longer have mental institutions in this country anymore.
Right.
Right. We got rid of those. The ironic thing is within Newtown, there was actually a mental institution there. God, what was it? Fairfield Hills. It was this massive, huge complex, probably housed thousands of mental patients. And the ironic thing is that they had shut that down back in the 80s because they ran out of funding.
Right. Well, Reagan famously cut the funding for mental health. I mean, I was only in school, you know, I was a kid at the time, graduated in 90. But I mean, yeah, Reagan, I mean, famously, but you also have to look at the question of whether or not the sociopath or psychopath has evidenced that problem to the degree that would warrant him or her, mostly almost always him, being institutionalized, right? And then whether or not there was access, but still, but you've got to have an idea of solutions, right?
I mean, so there's a different, you can look at this from very different aspects, right? So either you can attack it from the gun aspect, right? So when you look at the gun situation, I think we've kind of already discussed the numbers game. The number of guns that currently that are in existence are almost as more, if not more, than there are people in this country, right? So now you're looking at that aspect. Okay, so then what do? Then you start building laws around individuals and their access to guns. Okay, so there's, we've been discussed, red flag laws.
Okay.
Now, as a lawyer—
Break down the red flag laws for us.
So from my understanding, you probably have a better understanding of this since you're a lawyer, but I mean, one of the contingencies of that is now you're dealing with, due process issues, right? So we've all had our crazy girlfriends, right? I mean, I've had plenty, right? But I mean, yeah. So what's to stop from that situation? And like I said, I'm a gun collector. So let's say if I have a large collection of very expensive guns and I have some crazy chick who wants to just sit there and say, you know what? He said he did it. He was going to do this. And literally I have a large amount of assets taken from me because some girl is just, you know, wants to get back at me.
Damn.
For whatever reason. I mean, but that's real.
Damn.
Right. That's a serious consequence. Now I'm not saying that.
That's some he say, she say shit though. That's what they're trying to base a law on or a statute on some he say, she say.
Well, so when you talk about assault rifles, right, it really assault rifles are just semi-automatic rifles that look scary, right? They're just rifles that you pull the trigger and another bullet loads into the chamber, right? And the Second Amendment, nobody wants to hear this. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. It has nothing to do with home protection, right? The Second Amendment has everything to do with citizens having, and this is what widely recognized, although there's a new criticism that is saying it was just for people actively participating in militia for the government. But if you look at the framers, it clearly was to allow people to push back against the possibility of governmental oppression, right? And that's so you have all the people that are very upset. You have Republicans getting a hit list now of the senators that are compromising on reform. And I would think, I think y'all would agree that red flag laws are the centerpiece of this new proposed reform, right? So if it's really how you frame it, right? If you're going to have red flag laws, you do need due process. But is there also going to be consequences for those who abuse that process, right? Is it going to be a crime to, are you going to have to give a sworn affidavit and are you going to face the possibility of being prosecuted for perjury if you do like your scenario where you just could fabricate it? Right? Are you going to create a burden similar to beyond a reasonable doubt as opposed to a preponderance of the evidence? Typically, red flag laws are more probable than not, not even clear and convincing, like just a little if you're on a scale of justice, just a little, and they take your guns. But I mean, I do think we need to, but this is 2022, right? And we keep having conversations about it like it's 1950. And I think the real problem is we have the ability, privacy is dead, right? You were talking about with somebody before we started about getting them a new iPhone, right? Mm. That is a tracking device. That is a device that will tell you, I don't have to do anything but talk about some shit, and I will see ads on it on Facebook and Instagram the next day, right? I don't even have to put it in my phone, right? So we have all these algorithms. We have this Blaine Lemoyne, this Google engineer who just got suspended this weekend from Google because he came out and said their Lambda system has become self-aware, right? What and it's asking about
mean?
Their rights.
What does that mean?
Hold on.
Well, before, let me
before
get
we
there.
Go, before we go down that rabbit hole, I just want to be very clear. Is gun reform necessary?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't think it needs to be in this traditional form. We have algorithms that exist that can reach into the data that we are choosing to make available, right? And that the government could use that, right, to identify. Now, we still need due process, but to identify people that they need to intervene and go talk to and maybe look at and see what the hell is going on, right? Hmm. We have the ability to do so much more, but the government wants us to think they're helpless while they're – I mean – it's insane. Do I think, look, I think it was 2020. It might have been another program, but they took a 13-year-old kid 2 weeks ago, right? Took him to buy a lotto ticket. Cashier laughed. Went to another place, buy cigarettes. Cashier laughed. Buy alcohol. Cashier laughed, right? Took him to a gun show and he bought a gun, no problem. Okay? I am a supporter, an ardent supporter of the Second Amendment. I have a family member whose life was saved by a female with a gun when she was a child. A guy broke in the house, a child rapist, a horrible person went to attack and got shot because there was a gun. No, bad guys don't die. It took a couple of bullets, lived. You know, God did it again. God, you know, I mean, he's, you know, but there is, he's dying in prison now, right? Because if he wasn't still in prison, he'd be dead. But there are, I can say that. I'm a lawyer. But there are things that we can do that our government, this collectivist agreement that is our government that doesn't serve us, that just serves themselves now. And I'm talking about both parties, mm-hmm. right? It's supposed to serve us and our needs. You know, you had the Texas Tribune write an article about it. If we make these schools harder targets, the reality is it's just going to end up in more oppression of young black men, right? And that's the thing. This, well, because when you introduce cops into schools, what we have seen, Marjorie Stoneman, that fucking cop hid in a fucking hallway after stealing people's money. Cops in school, the whole defund and abolish prisons and defund police movement has been a horrible tragedy for communities of color, right? It has led to more crime and more violence, and the victims have been people of color. Crime is almost always racially homogenous. What we should have been saying from the jump street is refocus policing.
And what does that look like?
Well, it means we need to give up the war on drugs, with the exception of maybe fentanyl and methamphetamine, right? We need to allow people to go buy clean drugs. More people are dying right now from drug use because when they buy pills, they don't realize there's fentanyl in it. If people want to buy opioids that are going to be harmful to them, let them go buy it. People want to go buy coke. You know me, I've stopped drinking. You notice my weight loss. It was drinking, right? So I drink the Delta 8 Wonder Water from 8th Wonder when I'm here. That's all I drink. Zero calorie Wonder Water, but it's not as good as that shit in California. And every time I'm in California, I got to throw the good shit away because I don't break the law, right? I'm not a lawbreaker. But America would be healthier if weed was legal everywhere.
You smoke weed?
Oh, I yes.
Okay, well, go ahead.
But the whole thing is, we need to police right now are two things. They're prohibition agents and they're revenuers, right? I was a presiding judge for a city. I very much know that cities balance their budgets with citation revenue, which is just a regressive tax on the poor, period, right? Rich guy gets a traffic ticket. He goes, gets a lawyer. Lawyer goes, get the ticket, gone. It's poor people that fucking pay it. And that's what they do.
Yes, question. Should black police officers work black neighborhoods and white police officers work?
I don't believe that, but I believe the police department should make an effort to be racially reflective of its community.
That's never going
to
happen.
But I think we need to start working towards an America that sees people as people. I don't think it's ever going to happen, right? Until like the robots take over, and then maybe we'll fucking get along to try to preserve ourselves, and we'll just fight the robots. But at the end of the day, man, cops are revenuers and they're prohibition agents, and they just need to be focused on victim crime. That means to be their only fucking focus. And on schools, the problem that you have in schools, and I had this with a school district police department when I was a judge, they would write kids tickets for like disruption of the bus and stuff and fighting, you know, assault. Kids, we had a softball player sitting in jail one day, right? When I got up there, little 17-year-old girl, orphan, because her parents died. She was living with family because her 14-year-old sister got beat up by a girl. So she went and punched the girl. And because she was 17, they put handcuffs on her. She sat in that jail till I got there at like 3 o'clock there. And I lost my fucking mind, right? We don't need cops policing children, with the exception of the psychotic children that are trying to hurt their classmates, not just for like a fistica, but violently hurt them, right? Or violently hurt the staff. The only thing that cops should be doing in schools is keeping people safe, period. The only thing cops should be doing on the streets.
They should not be policing the school. They should put
people right. They shouldn't be fucking trying to bust kids for drugs.
Okay.
They shouldn't be trying to fucking.
That make a lot of sense.
They just need to be keeping people safe on the streets, right?
Yeah.
Like cops drive by now, windows up. You know, I had so much of my life benefited from being a windows down police officer, right? I got so much back from me, for my life, right? My practice as a lawyer, my appointment as a judge, all this shit was downstream from me just knowing everybody.
That's because you wanted to, Charles.
But we need to encourage those kind of people to do
it. But you wanted to. Well, the thing about it, we don't need to encourage their ass to do it. We need to vet them better so that we can get the ones who want to do it.
The system right now fucks them when they get in.
What I'm saying, but it is the vetting, man. They need to look more into these cops' background when they bring them in, because a lot of these cops that do dirty stuff, they got a pass, they got a record. It's right there. If they look for it, it's right there.
Well,
they're not doing that.
In fairness, when HPD, and I worked for a different department, when HPD started changing their background policies, it was to try to get more men of color and women of color.
What's the policy? What was the policy that they changed?
Well, they just looked at the background. They limited what would completely knock you out. And earlier, it was like any arrest. Then they started taking little arrests and stuff in prior. But the thing is, black men have more criminal history because they're policed differently. And it's mostly drugs and it's unfair, right? And you can look at violent crime statistics, and racists use violent crime statistics to justify racism, right? And I think crime is driven by poverty and it just allows, I mean, there's so many drivers, right? But one thing that doesn't drive crime is skin color. Right. So what you have to do, though, where police get fucked is they get in there. And I think most people get into public service because they want to be a public servant, is they get in there and they find out it's just about writing tickets to create revenue. And it's about getting arrests. And the low lying fruit, the easy arrests are searching people's cars. Well, whose cars are you going to search? Are you going to search his car? Well, man, he's got a suit coat on, man. He's got his hair slicked back. He's a white dude. He might file a fucking complaint, right? Man,
yeah,
yeah. You're not going to search his car.
Yeah, let's kill the whole suit thing. Yes, he's a white dude. Period.
Well, I'll throw that in. But if it's a white dude that they see as being poor and not having a voice, it's the suit matters. The appearance matters. But I mean,
it's even more.
You see when you look at car searches, is black men of all socioeconomic classes are searched like white men who are poor, right?
Right.
And what we need to do is we just need to stop prohibition, right? If cops are going to focus on drugs, it needs to be drugs that are killing people like fentanyl and narco-terrorists. That's it. Just need narco-terrorists, people that are engaged in violent drug trade.
Right? I can make one comment about that. So like when I was younger, like when I was in my 20s, I had long hair like down here, right? I was a total metalhead.
You smoke weed? Did you get high?
I plead the fifth.
Okay.
And
were you a headbanger?
Yeah, total.
Okay.
You hit. We're talking poison. Or are we talking priest?
No.
We're talking
Slayer. We're talking Slayer.
Man of war.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gotcha. Like hardcore. Right.
Gotcha.
But when I moved up to Indiana, right, there was one time I moved up to Indiana. I had this big brown cargo van, long hair with Texas plates. What's the first thing I did? Boop. Pulled over because I fit that narrative.
They thought they'd find drugs.
Right. And they went through and they searched through all my stuff. And I was like, I just moved here, man. I'm just like trying to find a job and stuff. And they just kind of pulled me aside and they said,
but had they found drugs, it would have derailed your life.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
And we have derailed we've robbed America of so much intellectual capital by derailing so many lives with searches. And if we want to fix gun problems, right, mm-hmm. we need to enforce the laws that are on the books, right? Bad guys with guns, right? The whole end of, you need proactive policing. I mean, there are, when you talk about defund, you have communities of color that are under siege, both from crime and from the war on drugs, right? And instead, cops should be there fucking protecting people. Like, they know who the bad guys are, right? And we just need to change this discourse. We need to enforce the war on bikes. If we're going to have red flag laws, we need to have a due process that has a punishment for people that lie. Right, but we can't just do nothing.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The holidays have arrived early this year. Why wait until fall when you can get Black Friday prices now during Blinds.com's annual Spring Black Friday sale?
Blinds.com's the better way to get custom window treatments totally online. No waiting around all day for salespeople to show up or dealing with inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters, motorized options. We have your patio covered for spring too. And Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home. We'll even send free samples. You can even get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Plus, free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now for the best deals of the season. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What do you believe the definition of defund the police to be?
Well, I think it means, because there's a lot of parsing on that. But in reality, what it means, and what we saw in Austin, is defunding, like removing funding from the budget. So we want better policing by paying them less. Instead, we need to refocus. The conversation should have always been, policing doesn't work for Americans. Let's paradigmatically change it. Let's go into these prisons, and everyone that's just there for drugs... just drugs, not fucking killing people, not doing fucking, but just there. And again, I accept like fentanyl. People that are selling fentanyl that kill people, that's a whole different deal. But for regular drugs, weed, coke, heroin, molly, heroin, all that, fuck yeah, heroin. All right, sit there, pills. Let them all fucking go. I have a business. I have a business partner that had his life ruined by drugs and law enforcement, but got himself clean, found his way to be clean, found a reason to be clean. And, but for me, the guy's a fucking millionaire now. I made a lot of money off him, right? But for him finding his reason to be clean and changing his life, he's just another statistic, right? And then having me back it, but he's a brilliant guy. We have so many people that are legitimate geniuses in different ways. Like people really think, oh, a genius is Einstein, right? But there are geniuses at talking on the phone. There are geniuses at music. Obviously, that's accepted. There's all everyone. I believe that most everyone has an individual genius. And we are stifling so much of that, especially with black men, by putting jackets on people, by fucking arresting people for shit where it's only involved them hurting them, right? And it's Deshaun Watson and prostitution. I think Deshaun enjoyed, from the evidence I've seen, I think there are some women that are lying that just jumped on the money train, but I think there are women that are telling the truth that he enjoyed forcing women that were legitimate masseuses into the illegitimate acts, right?
I don't believe that.
And y'all can disagree, but then somebody, but I think that we should live in a world where if Deshaun Watson wants to go get a hand job, he can pay for it and ain't nobody's fucking business.
That's why I don't believe it. And I don't believe the chick that looks like Howard Stern. Did they say Bill Cosby drug?
Hell no.
He didn't Bill fuck Cosby. Her.
Okay, and I get that. I've looked at a lot of this stuff. And I'm of the position, though, that if we lived in an America where if people could lawfully go get drugs, go get, you know, prostitution, whatever, and the police got out of that business, right? They got out of the business of telling people how to live their own lives and were only in the fucking business of protecting people from victim crimes and victimizers. And I'm not just talking violence. I'm talking about theft. I'm talking about fraud, anything.
But do you realize that is one of the elements of defunding the police? It is taking some of those...
This is
what I'm saying. If instead we get more police officers, add more to the budget for policing every single year, as opposed to taking some of that money that we're using, that we're paying police officers, instead of paying police officers, let's pay for social services so people are getting the treatment that they need.
I think we need to have better social services, but we need...
So where we have those social services for our young people who can get involved in vocational school, vocational courses and things of that nature. You have social services for domestic issues and people that have mental issues and stuff like that. If we're taking care of our people, if we're really taking care of our people, then we don't need the police as much. That's what defunding the police is.
But we're not there right now. People are dying right now. Houston is awash in crime.
And I think it's quite possible to walk and chew bubblegum at the same time.
Well, see, that's why I agree with you. But I think you achieve that by spending more money, on social services and spending more money on police, having better police, requiring the police.
Define a better police, okay, though.
I'll tell you right now, 911. What's your if you experience a theft or some sort of vandalism and it's less than $5,000, please go on your computer and type that shit in. Right? Bullshit. Right? $5,000 could ruin a family's life, and the cops don't investigate shit. Right? So when I was a cop, if we got a call about somebody breaking into fucking cars, we would turn off our lights and drive around till we saw that motherfucker with a backpack on a 30-year-old dude on a backpack with a backpack on a BMX bike riding through cars. Right? That was always the dude. We stop him, you talk to him, you ask for his ID, you get probable cause, you search him, you find the shit he's been stealing all night, right? That's how you fucking police. Now they come out 4 or 5 hours later and they don't do anything. Right? People don't expect the cops to respond at all until someone's murdered or something horrible happens or family violence, right? And that's not what we need in America. We need cops. It's shoplifters now. Stores don't even call the police. They just tell them to go. And that's okay. Well, it's just shoplifting. But it snowballs into more crime. All cops, cities and counties should not be able to keep a dime of the revenue from writing tickets. And then if you ended prohibition and writing tickets, right now, cops pull people over to write their necessary tickets, right? And then if they feel like searching your car, there's no protection from that. They search your car. If they don't find anything, they let you go. If they find something, they put a case on you, right? Cops shouldn't be doing any of that.
They're not going to give that up, Charles, because
they have to.
Money got to come from somewhere
else. But then we raise taxes.
They're getting that money.
Right? That's the thing.
Money.
Nobody wants to raise taxes. Or maybe we engage in some austerity and let the government stop wasting so much fucking money on so much other shit, right? Stupid shit.
If I can interject here a little bit. So, you know, I think, you know, we talk about the funding of police and really what needs to happen is a change in the laws, right? So nobody's sitting here talking about we should get rid of cops because bad people do bad things, right? We know that.
And some of them are cops.
Most of them.
Well, look, and I agree with that, right?
You think
look,
most criminals are cops, man? But,
well,
that ain't
saying,
fucking true, many, man. I'm sorry, many, man. Right. But, much respect, but that ain't the fucking truth.
But look, there's always...
Because you ain't the victim.
Right.
Bro, I have been searched.
You ain't the victim, bro. Like, you ain't getting it like we getting it. Like, Charles, this is what I understand this. And I heard the advocacy for black men earlier in your discussion, but I'm going to tell you, bro, we get this shit all day, every day. We can't go through a day without having to worry about the police.
But here's some shit.
And we are taxpaying gentlemen just like
no,
you.
No, I understand.
But we're taxpaying. We're fathers. We're brothers. We're cousins. We're upstanding citizens.
But why does that happen?
We
got to
deal with that.
Why does
shit
that happen?
Still every
it's
single day.
It's the war on drugs.
No, it's the war on us.
Right, but here's the thing. They pull you over and they search you, and it creates this animosity because you're like, I don't have any shit in my car. I ain't done nothing wrong because they're looking for drugs. This isn't new. 2 decades ago, Harvard, I write this paper, right? Lago Vista, Atwater versus Lago Vista, and my husband was a white physician's wife gets arrested for her seatbelt, right? And the Supreme Court says it's okay. And they just frame it in that narrow issue. And I wrote this 2 decades ago. I wrote this thing saying, no, this isn't what fucking happens. When they arrest you for your seatbelt, it's not this white physician's wife. It's almost always a poor person or a person of color having their shit searched because they're looking for drugs. And if they don't find the drugs, they let you go. So then you feel angry, right? You're like, what the fuck did I do? I was just driving my fucking car, right? But if they do find the drugs, then they've got you for a felony, for less than a gram of coke, some bullshit, right?
Well, if they can't find the drugs, they'll plant the drugs.
I see the planting narrative, it has happened, right?
No,
it has happened, but it doesn't. Like you, Hardy Street, that was a gangster division of cops, right? And that was horrible. But I think in America as a whole, that's an anomaly. But it certainly has happened. But how did we stop that? Cameras. The Florida cop that got busted. Fucking cameras. We need cameras on every cop when they're interacting with the public.
I seen my fucking cameras.
They turn that shit off sometimes.
I seen motherfuckers with cameras film murders and homicides and all kinds of shit, and the cop just get out and walk free.
Well, but the thing
cameras ain't shit.
But the thing is, if we have them, and we have accountability. I mean, do you think the solution is no police?
No,
I know the solution is not that.
The solution is accountability. You just said
that.
They're not being held accountable.
If you attach his fucking pension and his freedom to his bullshit, I guarantee you that shit was.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Bad police shouldn't have a right to their job, right? Like, if you turn your camera off for some reason, you should be fired, right?
And go to jail.
Well, they want to criminalize it.
Motherfuckers should be jailed, man.
But the thing is, you have a lot of cops. They're making America worse than what it already is. Well, but that's
they're not making America because it's revenuing and prohibition.
And if you take away the revenuing and prohibition, take away those completely, right? And you focus cops only on protecting victims, right? Because crime is not mostly committed by cops. It's mostly committed by criminals. And it's almost always racially homogenous. White people commit crimes against white people. Black people commit crimes against black people. Asians commit crimes against the people around them, right? And we are, by defunding the police, we are abandoning black law-abiding citizens to victimization, especially in major cities like Houston, Chicago, New York, LA. It's just out of control. And it's black men and women who are being victimized the most, and it's heartbreaking. And the drivers of it are poverty and all this. And if we want to fix it, we need to paradigmatically fix policing. We went to Newark, New Jersey. Like, the people at the defund movement like to hold them up as they defunded the police. No, they didn't. What they did was they got rid of one police department. Busted the union, got rid of them, and at the same exact time started another police department that had more police, and their job was, y'all get out of your fucking car. You interact with people. You talk to people. You need a combination of windows down policing and broken windows policing, right? Windows down means your fucking job is to get out there and get to know everybody in your fucking community. And your other fucking job is to arrest people that are committing victim crimes. And those are your only two fucking jobs. That's fucking it, right? And then we're going to supervise you in a manner. We're going to see how many times you stop in a business and chit chat with the people and talk to them and introduce yourself to people. Because we can track people. We can track interactions. We can put a camera on somebody the whole time. And people can supervise how they act with people, how they interact with people, and it all needs to change. My last interaction with cops was fucking horrible. I'm driving home from the courthouse down Westheimer, right, where it's real narrow near Numbers, right? And I on view an accident. This man's driving with a pickup truck with chairs in the back. This woman's driving real narrow. She hits him with her Jeep, and she kind of takes off. He gets in front of her, cuts her off. I stop. I go out to the dude. I give him my information. Older black man, right? And I said, hey, man. Here's my information. I saw her hit you, you know, if you need any help. And I live real close to there. So I drive on home. He calls me back. Like, he calls me in like 10 minutes. He's like super upset, right? He's like a 68, older dude, right? He's like, they're not even giving me her insurance. She's saying she didn't hit me, da, 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 da. So I go back. Everyone is a person of color, both male police officers, young woman just wearing the sports bra, looking all pretty in her Jeep, and the old African-American dude. They wouldn't even give him the insurance. You can see the damage. She had a Jeep. She hit him with the wheel. They're not doing anything. I walk up. He starts barking at me to walk. Her response, oh, what does this white guy got to say? Like, what does my race have anything to do with it? I said, I was behind both of them, and she hit him, and she kind of drove off. He stopped her. They didn't want to do a report. They said it was less than $1,000 in damage. This whole side quarter panel was dented in. He's upset. He doesn't know what's going on. At least by me, I'm like, look, I used to sit on the board of the police foundation. I'll fucking call an assistant chief right now. I was fucking hot, right? So at least she got the information. But before I got out there, they weren't going to help this old dude at all, right? They like felt no compunction to do their job. They still refused to write a report. These fucking police need to do their fucking jobs, but we need to change what their jobs is, because there are a bunch of good police, right? I know y'all don't agree, but there are good people that believe. They're there to be public servants, and we need to support and applaud those people, right? But by changing what they do, by changing their job, and telling them, no, you can't search fucking cars looking for drugs anymore. There's no reason. You write tickets when you see someone putting other people in danger. That's the only time you're intervening. Fucking DWIs kill people. Let's fucking focus on fucking people that are driving like they're drunk. Fucking, you know, guns kill people. People that start off shoplifting, if it goes unchecked, it snowballs. I mean, you're looking at like San Francisco and LA, where it's just snowballed into just brazen crime. People don't give a fuck. You can film them. They don't give a fuck, right? We can't, but defund the police should. I mean, I just disagree with the narrative. I think we need to fund policing, but demand they're better. And those that want to obstruct it, fire all of them.
It's not just about drugs that these when these cops are pulling people over, searching and stuff. It's not just about drugs. It is the mentality of feeling like this person, because of the color of their skin, is less than. It is that.
So how do you fix it?
Hold on. It's that mentality. And my comments are supported by the actions that we see daily. When we look at the news, when we watch these clips on the internet, all of these police shootings, most of these shootings where somebody get killed for little or nothing at all. Are black people getting killed by white cops?
Okay, let's talk about shootings.
Hold on. Now, tell me this. If there is not some type of racial disparity there, why is it that the majority of these cops who kill people for little or nothing are white males?
Okay. I will tell you that you have—
They ain't looking for guns. They ain't looking for drugs.
You have an outsized portion of white people in policing, right? But policing is becoming more and more community reflective and ethnically diverse with every passing year, right? And there's also, so if you look since the reportable numbers since 2015, cops have killed 1,500 black men, right? And cops have killed 3,000 white men. And a little more, I mean, the numbers are a little more than that, right? When you look at assaulting police, that white men assault police at about a 2-to-1 ratio as black men. So black men are assaulting police a little bit in an outsized portion of their representation in the community, right? But the deadly force, right, is that ratio works, right? You have where you have two white men to every black man is reflective of other variables other than generalized population. So the narrative that cops are just out there hunting black men actually doesn't jibe with the data. Where you see incredible data. Okay, but where you see incredible disparities is, again, and go back to the drug war, the car searches, overwhelmingly black people and Hispanic people.
The difference, Charles, is these white cops, when you start talking about the disparity, it's they killed 3,000 white males and whatever number of black, 1,500 black males, whatever. We know that is because, you know, white people outnumber black people in this country like 3 or 4 to 1 or something like that, whatever. But whatever that number is, the reason why they're killing, they kill these white dudes is because these white dudes is trying to kill them in many cases. No. In many cases.
See, actually, the numbers on armed versus unarmed are the same, right? And then where you want to get to trouble with the racist, then you look at murder statistics, right? Where black men represent a tremendous overrepresentation in committing murder. And see, people, the racists want to say that skin color.
Committing murder against who?
Right. Well, that's my point, right? See, the thing is, what's driving that, what racists want to say is skin color drives that. No. The economic legacies of Jim Crow, the economic legacies
proximity
of slavery.
Drives crime.
Right, right. Poverty drives crime.
Proximity.
Right.
Proximity.
Well,
you know why? Because Galleria. Galleria is one of the richest areas in Houston. Right now in the Galleria, there's all types of white collar crime going on in the Galleria, but people ain't getting busted. You don't see people getting, police ain't pulling people over, dragging them out to offices and stuff.
Example of white collar crime.
They're embezzling money at the banks and shit right now in the financial institutions.
Go ahead.
I absolutely agree that we should focus.
Doing fraud, all kinds of shit going on, but because it's being done in the suites and not the streets.
Talk to me.
Well, no, that's the war on drugs, right?
Have a difference.
Drugs are policed different in impoverished communities because you're interacting with people more, right? Where, you know, George Bush and Hunter Biden grew up in a world where they could do all the cocaine they wanted because they're behind closed doors, right? And really, what we're in now is where, as we watch the racial disparities wane, right? They're still very much existing, but they're waning in America. What it's really about is power and wealth privilege, right? And, you know, the kids at Rice University are policed very differently. I went to U of H, right? Those U of H cops, they fuck with those kids, right? Whereas the Rice cops protect the kids, right? And, you know, it's What we need to be doing in America is creating more opportunity for all Americans, irrespective of race. We need more educational opportunities. We need more mental health opportunities. We just need more fucking opportunities. But what we're doing in Washington, what everyone that's elected, is they're elected, they get up there and they start, how am I going to get me and mine rich? Right? How am I going to get in? It doesn't matter what fucking party they're in, right? And that's why they want us all hating each other, man. And that's why we have so many people that are either the Tucker Carlsons that are baiting white people to feel like they are losing everything and they've got to get angry, or anyone on the other side of the spectrum that are wanting people to hate white people. There's a lot. The loudest voices are driving hate, and it's hate mongers that are destroying this country and polarizing this country. But really what's doing it is the rich. Like the stock market crash. All right. It's fucking a bunch of people's 401ks. This Bitcoin crash. Bitcoin crash is all driven by the government forces trying to limit that. But really, who's winning, right? When Jamie Dimon, the head of fucking Chase Bank, says, well, I think the stock market's going to crash. And then a week later, it crashes. Jamie Dimon said that shit to benefit Jamie fucking Dimon and the oligarchs, the post-monetary super rich. They're going to buy out the American middle class at a fucking discount. And they're going to have all of us, renting our fucking homes, renting our cars, renting our furniture, renting fucking everything, and we're not going to own anything. And until Americans stop being, and, you know, maybe AI takes over and fucking, you know, takes over the world and we're all subject to robots. But if that doesn't happen, until we stand up and stop saying, hey, we're no longer going to allow the post-monetary, the people that have armed guards, the people that live behind walls, fucking define public policy, then we're just going to keep losing.
So is that why people don't want to give up their guns?
I mean, people don't want to give up their guns because they're the security blanket, right? But, you know, I have guns, right? I think what we need to do is use new technologies and old technologies to make schools harder targets, to protect our kids. You know, at the courthouse, I feel fucking safe, right? At the Capitol, people feel fucking safe, right? I would rather have 9 and 10 year olds feel fucking safe than fucking scumbag lawyers like me and fucking politicians any day of the fucking week, right? We need to spend the money on law enforcement and security measures. And that law enforcement job, you know, kid walk by you smoking a reefer, you don't give a fuck, right? Let the school deal with it. That law enforcement job is just on the very rare occasion that you fucking have something monstrous fucking happen, that they're there to protect people. That whole shit standing outside that fucking room, I don't know a single, I'm lying. I know one cop that would never go in because he's a fucking pussy. But every cop that I worked with except that bitch motherfucker would have went in that fucking room, right? Because you're supposed to die. Man, that's your fucking job. Right. There were moms and dads that wanted to go in that room that got fucking handcuffed.
I would not have something like that on my record.
Now Uvalde isn't turning over the cameras. They're not releasing the body cams. Their fucking story is
Hold on. Look, man, when I was at freaking Newtown, look, there's a certain sensitivity to what you're dealing with when you start releasing information like that.
No shit.
Okay, look, you got to think about it from the standpoint of the parents.
Hold on.
So you got to look at this from the standpoint of the parents. Look, because
the
once
parents
you,
are asking
Hold on. Not all of them. I guarantee you not all of them. Look, when I was at Sandy Hook, when you have those kind of pictures being released within the public, you're having literally the bodies of slain children going out, because once they're public, you can't take it back. It's out there.
Oh, I get it.
So what happens when that stuff gets splashed over every Facebook page of dead children slaughtered in a classroom? Well,
Facebook can control that.
No.
If they wanted to.
No, well,
look, they can.
But you know where they I'm cannot. Going with this. You know where I'm going, right? This is not, you know, it can go on Facebook, it can go like dark web, it can go a bazillion places.
But you understand why they want it, right? Because they think the cops killed the children and they're lying. Well, and the cops need to participate. At least, the very least, the cops should be forced, and what I'm to is to participate in the investigation.
Absolutely.
They're refusing. They're refusing to participate. Fuck all of them. Fire all of them right now.
And that's a different subject than actually releasing all the information. Look, I understand the need and the want for lack of a word, discovery or understanding certain clarity within what happened. And I get that.
Transparency.
Thank you. That's the exact word I was looking for, right? Transparency. But you have to be very cautious of the mental anguish that could potentially happen.
This is 2022, right? So they can go in there and they could literally edit out the faces and the gore and just show the cops' actions, right?
And that's a solution. And I'm not saying that's not a solution. That's
smart solutions.
But to just blanket say, oh, we should just release everything.
I'm not saying that. I mean, they're not working with the state.
That's the way it kind of came off a little bit. I mean, okay. Whether you intended to mean that, I don't know. But I mean,
we need to know what happened. And the police department and the school district police department are obstructing that knowledge, both to the world, right? And to the people investigating them. And people should be in jail for that right?
In this specific instance, right? Look, and you guys probably are aware of this as much as I am. I mean, when these things happen, usually most of the time the killer kills himself, right? And that's, I mean, if you look what happened at Newtown, he killed himself. What happened, that's usually what ends up happening.
Wait until they kill themselves?
No, absolutely not. No, they have to go in. I don't understand why they wouldn't go in.
Because they're bitch ass pussies.
If that's the reason, and I'm sure that's probably it. Right? There was a fear for their lives.
The lieutenant literally said. Literally said, well, there was a possibility of them getting shot. No,
they were bitch-ass pussies.
Thank you. I'm glad.
You have to go in, right? That's the deal. I mean, in Newtown, those guys rushed that building. It's just he shot himself first, right? I think it gets to the point, though. I mean, look, I don't think a lot of people could understand, unless you've been in this situation, you know, when I was in that town, the amount of devastation that happens to a community when something like that happens, especially to children, it has a certain gravity that I can't explain, right? It's like literally the biggest black hole you could possibly ever imagine. So we can sit here and make all these kind of assumptions that this should be released and that should be released, and or this should be said, but the amount of grieving that's currently going on within that town. Now, remember, Newtown was 26,000 people. Uvalde's not that much different. It's only 16,000, right?
Very, very small, picturesque little town.
And Newtown was no different. It was this little New England town.
Right.
Same thing. And the ironic thing is that these little towns is one of the last places you would think something like this crap would happen.
Right. I don't think we're there anymore, right? I think we realize that it could happen. I mean, all these cops at Uvalde have been paid for active shooter training and then ignored it all, right?
The same thing happened in Florida, right?
Right. That motherfucker hid in a stairwell.
Right, right. And he should have been out there actively going in and charging the assailant.
But he was a
bitch-ass pussy.
Thank you, sir.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Cody, where were you when you heard about the Uvalde school shooting, and what was your immediate reaction?
Like, I was at home because I'm, you know, Jesus, all this COVID stuff, they still have us working from home, right? But, you know, I just remember I was in my office and I was working, and then my son, which that's a whole other story, my son comes in, he's like, hey, Dad, did you hear? There was another shooting at an elementary school. And I already started seeing, because I was, you know, working on stuff, but I started seeing the news feed started coming in, and I was just, you know, look, man, you just slump in your chair and you just say, Jesus fucking Christ, not again. Really? Really? And, you know, there's just, the problem with that is it brings back all the memories that had happened previously, you know, 10 years ago when everything happened. I mean, look, I still remember every day and every minute that happened when I had to experience that shooting in my own town. My son was one school over and in the same grade and the same age as all those kids in Newtown. That's how close that got. That's not like, oh yeah, like I was like in another town over. If we had moved a couple miles north, if our house was a couple miles north, my son would have been in that same school and that same grade that those kids were in. I mean, that is as close as you can get without being there. So to have something like this happen in Uvalde, all those emotions start rushing right back. Because I hate to say it, I would never wish this experience on even on my worst enemy, because I hate to tell everybody this, is that I think about this shit every day.
Damn.
There ain't a day that I don't think about this. Now, wow. I'm not saying this from a standpoint. Look, maybe I need mental help. I don't know, you know,
shit,
but I mean,
think we all do, bro.
Right. I mean, but these are, you know, we can Monday night quarterback this shit to death, right? And say, these guys should do this and this should be do this, but we weren't there. And I don't know.
But don't we need to find solutions?
Absolutely. Nobody says we shouldn't move forward. But doesn't
moving forward require looking back? Right?
Absolutely. We should look back, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't know everything that happened. And to your point, until we get all the transparency, we're not going to really know that what really happened.
So you agree with me that they should release stuff?
I agree that it should be absolutely looked at by an independent panel. Now, whether or not those images should be released to the public.
Well, I'm not advocating for dead bodies of children being released. Well, what the people asking now, they're wanting to see what the cops did when they finally entered, right? Because even at the beginning, they were saying that they were being there. I knew, because they were kind of waffling on the language. You know, when the government talks, mm-hmm. when the government don't want to be concise, right? You know, they're fucking lying, right? They're kind of waffling on.
So every time they talk, basically.
I mean, I'm not a fan either.
I don't trust the government at all.
Seems like that it snowballed into this possibility that they might have been responsible with. And then the only way we're going to know, and this is why I've been such a proponent of body cameras, and I've been a proponent of body cameras for a long time, right? Because you need to see everything that occurred. And it maybe does the public need to see it? No. But the public needs a transparency without showing the gore. And nowadays, that's completely possible. You can take any image, any video, and remove whatever you want, just seconds with the swipe of a mouse, right? And we need to see what happened. And we need to look at that and Monday morning quarterback that so we can prevent it. But like when the Texas Tribune, a great resource, because it's really unbiased journalism, it's nonprofit, right? Mm-hmm. When they say the problem with more cops in schools is it's going to have a negative effect on communities of color and male students in schools, is completely reflects my position that they shouldn't be busting kids for shit that's not a serious violence towards other people, or theft, that kind of shit, right? But it's a victim crime. And that's just not our policing paradigm, right? And anyone outside of policing just doesn't know until you need the police and they're apathetic, right? Until you need the police, you call them, you think, oh, my house has been burglarized. And you think they're going to come running. They're like, oh, okay, well, we'll give you, call your insurance.
You know, I hear people say that all the time. Like, yeah, you're going to need the police. But when you need the police.
But they don't do anything.
But here's the problem. The problem is, like in black communities, I can speak on this shit because that's where I was raised. When I was growing up, whenever I would see the police, it was always, when I ain't talking about every now and then, I'm saying every single time, but you got to imagine from a child, a little bitty baby, all the way up, all I've ever saw, when I see police officers, they show up when something bad has happened. And when I, and all interactions have always been, you can be riding down the street. Police could be, you pass by the police, or you're standing, the police pass by. They got a grimacing look on their face.
Right, that's a problem.
They never speak. If they speak, it's always in an authoritative voice. It's aggressive. It's never like how like it is now where I live. You know, it's not like, hey, how you doing? It's, you know, menacing. It's a very menacing
look.
That's
a problem.
And they're aggressive all the time. And then, you know, yeah, somebody get beat up, shot, whatever, they show up or whatever. But other than that, when somebody getting beat up a shot, it's them doing the beating up and the shooting. So that's all we ever see about the police. And then, so
I mean, are you assuming that I grew up in a white community, like where the little hedges and shit? Because I didn't grow up with money, right? I grew up east side of Austin.
I'm just speaking my truth. I'm not even talking about you specifically. But I'm just speaking. I'm just saying that we have a different experience, man, with the police. And this is an experience that is very traumatic for us, because from an early age, just like at the schools, and you just agreed with us that the police should not be in the schools. Think about this. When you
they shouldn't be in there policing the children that aren't psychotically violent.
The police should not even be in the schools. Sit your ass in the car outside.
And see, I disagree with that.
And that's
how are they going to protect these schools if they don't have the ability to set up a station and protect them?
Whatever the hell has been going
on. I think we need to not live in a fantasy world.
Let me finish. Whatever the fuck the police is doing right now at the schools ain't working anyway.
They've stopped a lot of school shootings.
How did they stop a lot of school shootings?
You're letting the media define your perception.
No, I'm not.
There are tons of school shootings that we don't hear anything about because a police officer intervened and stopped the motherfucker from doing the shooting.
I don't know. Exactly.
It happens in America.
I don't see that.
Because I know every time the police do something affirmative, they finna show everybody. They're gonna show you how brave they were.
But the media doesn't care.
It doesn't get clicks.
If there ain't the gore and the dead bodies, there ain't no fucking clicks.
You don't need the media. Everything is being filmed now. We got social media. Fuck mainstream media. We got social media now.
Cops.
So if it's out there, we're going to see it.
But the thing is, cops do stop crime. And there are good cops out there. But right now, we need to refocus policing.
There are some cases, but I will tell you this. If I'm at school, if I go to school in so-called hood or whatever, black community, and I already know that we have that tension between our community and police officers.
We need to work on the
then
tension.
Then we show up to school, they're standing there and they're menacing. They got the menacing.
That menacing is a problem.
How in the hell am I supposed to learn? How am I supposed to get focused on learning when these motherfuckers are standing there making
me uncomfortable?
I agree.
Well, that's the whole thing. We don't need to give up on the concept of policing because there are evil fucking people in the world that need to be in prison.
We need policing at school.
We need to make sure that they're not menacing to little kids.
Let me say this. So if you got police at the school, you got one cop at a school, you think that's going to stop a school shooting?
Most certainly not. You have to make it a hard target.
Exactly. So here's the smartest thing to do. You know, when you go into these elementary schools, and these schools, they have hallways. Mm-hmm. They have hallways, the sixth graders, the third graders, the fourth graders, second, kindergarten, that shit. They got hallways. The minute it's got to be a device put in place in that front office or with that security guard that shit, you know, the fucking garage doors that come down at the stores in the stores in New York or in the malls or whatever.
Yeah, I have them on the back
of my
house.
They gotta yank that. They gotta push that button, and them fucking doors gotta close, and they got the lock. You have to lock this motherfucker in a vestibule when he get in there, and hold him there until law enforcement get there. Otherwise, we're gonna continue to go through this shit all the fucking time because one of the doors are gonna be breached. One of the parents gonna walk out and let somebody walk in. It should always be a door in between.
You know, that was a lie on that teacher. That teacher didn't leave that door open. I mean, the cops were, I mean, they've disproven lie after lie in Uvalde from the police.
Is this a conspiracy? Are you a conspiracy theorist?
Not at all. No, I mean, they've actually debunked it.
Is this shit in writing?
Yeah, the fact that she didn't leave the door open, yeah, the door was busted. It was a lie. She got, I mean,
how'd they bust the door?
No, the door was just, it's, the mechanism was broken. Yeah, it mean, didn't lock. I agree with you completely.
That should be the fucking exactly. policeman's job
right.
That's policing that area. He should be able to, he should walk that perimeter.
Fucking exactly.
And make sure all the doors are secured.
Exactly.
Every 45 minutes like they do in a motherfucking in jail.
I agree 100%.
They come by there and they look in.
But the thing, I think, I get your point, right? Like, I mean, Blanton Elementary in Austin, you're in the east side of Austin. That's where I went to school, right? And I mean, you, I just found my picture from fourth grade. There was like three white kids in the class. Mr. and Mrs. class. I'll find it. I might have posted it.
I want to see your fourth grade picture.
I mean, that's the thing. We want kids to learn, right? And we want kids feeling safe. That's I mean, schools are a whole problem right now. They're not disciplining violent kids. So good kids go to school and they feel, you're seeing this in New York City a lot, right? Good kids go to school. Like, get stabbed in the leg with a pencil. The kid is stabbed only back in the class the next day. Right? No, we need to have mechanisms at school that protect the kids that want to go there and learn from being bullied and violence. But it doesn't need to be the fucking police. We just need to take the kids that are bullied and violent, put them in a different situation, right? Put them in a different classroom.
Put them in a different school.
We need to make schools safe so people are encouraged to win, right? Because where I was going to school as a kid, it wasn't cool to be good at school. It was cool to fucking smoke weed and get in fucking trouble and fuck up, right? And that's so. So when I became a young police officer, I recognized that everybody in, whether it was SSP or PH or all that, you have 20, 30 kids in a gang, right? You're going to have one or two kids that are bad in that gang. And the rest of the kids just don't want to get beat up walking to the Big Seven. Follow it's just like a fraternity. They just want to be, they want to go along, right? And it's the sociopaths, right, that need the police attention. But instead, it's all the kids, right? We need to change, but policing shouldn't be menacing to anyone that's not menacing, right? And schools, people say, well, I don't want to be like prisons. Well, if the change off is knowing that kids are going to be safe in schools, and they should, you want to know the safest schools in Houston? The fucking Jewish schools. Because they have been fucking, they faced all this violent threat.
Okay, so what do the Jewish schools, that should be a blueprint. What do they do?
Agree.
What do they do in the Jewish schools?
They've got security booths, they've got high fences, they've got security on premises, right? Because obviously anti-Semitism throughout history has led to violence, right? You know, I grew up going to shitty schools. I made money. My kids went to private school.
If this country can send $40 billion to help somebody else way out of the fucking, on the other side of the world, do whatever it is they're doing, then they should drop that $40 billion right here at home.
I couldn't agree more.
And secure these kids and make sure these classrooms are safe.
You're exactly right.
I think that's fucking bullshit. Columbine, was that the first?
It was the first.
That was the big one. Yeah.
That shit should have shut it down immediately. Like, we should have knew right then. Like, this has to be done.
But again, that if you look through the past, Columbine, like, even when I was on the school board of Sandy Hook, right, or of Newtown, if somebody told me there was going to be a school shooting tomorrow, what's the first place I would have thought it was going to happen? And that was the high school. There's no way in hell I would ever imagine it would have been somebody just run into an elementary school who didn't even go there.
Wow.
Now, you see, because this is, remember, the people who went into the elementary schools who've done this in Uvalde, they didn't go there. They had either graduated there or like moved on from years and past, right? So, yes, I mean, if you were going to sit there and say, okay, after Columbine, lock down the freaking high schools, because that's where you have the situations where you're talking about the kids are, they're psychopaths, they've been bullied, they want to take revenge out on certain people, which was probably one of the situations with Columbine. Sure. They felt somehow that they were justified in their actions. They
debunked that to some degree, but yeah.
They obviously had some.
So he did say he was going to go and shoot up the school?
Well, this fucking guy in Uvalde, he's fucking 14. He got in trouble for it.
For what?
For terroristic threats.
Jail.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But the guy
immediately, he should have been grabbed. like that, a fucking terroristic threat.
Well, the big problem is, so he did it as a juvenile. So when he goes to buy a gun, like on his aid, right, they don't fucking, you know, and you know, it's these expanded background checks that look at, one of the proposals is to make sure that they look at the juvenile history if you're under the age of 21, right? I think they should be able to look at your juvenile history, period. Right? And I mean, like, you can seal stuff for the public, but still have the government be able to see it, right? And the government, it should be running these background checks. But I agree with you 100%, Scarf. If we're spending all this money around the world, right? And we have where our fucking kids aren't safe, but our communities aren't safe either. I mean, that's the thing. But when you look at all the crime in Houston right now, you talk about the Galleria, but think about the Third Ward and the Fifth Ward. They're fucking delusional. The news doesn't care.
But
right?
this goes right back to what I was saying from the very get-go when we started this conversation. There's 40 million guns in this country. What you're suggesting, hold on. 400 million guns in this country. What you're suggesting, which I'm not saying we shouldn't do, but when you talk about kids going out and buying a gun, right? What you're talking about is going to a retail or a specific gun store to go buy it. Mm-hmm. Right. If you look at what happened at Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza stole that gun from her, from his mother. He shot her in the head took it.
Right.
Right. So again, are we, look, I can't say it enough. And we already had laws in the books in Connecticut saying that it was illegal for you to not have a gun that wasn't locked down. I think law-abiding
citizens should have guns if they want them.
Right. Look, again, I'm a gun owner, but I have a safe. I keep my shit locked up.
Right.
Right. My kids don't have access to that crap. Right.
So now, do you think it should be a crime if your kids get access to, or not your kids, somebody's kids get access to the guns and kill somebody? You think the owner should be? Yeah, I think they should go to prison.
Yeah, well, there are laws.
It's almost like theft.
Well, not
a kid get a hold of a gun that he's not supposed to have access to.
That's in your storage. That's in your house, man.
Yeah.
But there's in your house, and that gun is connected to you, man. I feel like that the owner of that gun is responsible for where that gun goes, especially when it's with that child.
But that's already a law in Texas.
It's a law?
No, it is
absolutely
a law in Texas.
What's the law?
Well, it's a very slap on the wrist. If your kid gets a gun or somebody gets a gun in your household, child, and they shoot somebody, you slap on the wrist. You ain't going to prison.
Right.
And you need to go to prison.
If the gun was unsecured, you stand a better chance of being prosecuted. But if that gun was locked up in any kind of way, you got yourself a defensive.
But here's the thing: we're talking about cops. What cops need to be doing is not going after law-abiding citizens and their guns. All these guns that are on the streets, all these guns that are being illegally transferred, there should be a legal consequence if you give a gun to someone who's a felon, right? And I'm not saying you should have to have a background check every time you give your cousin a gun, right? But if your cousin turns out to be a felon and he kills someone, your ass goes to fucking prison too. Right. I mean, we need to start, but we don't even enforce the laws on the books. Right. We're not putting people. Well,
I don't think that's like that. I hear people keep saying, like, don't allow felons to have guns and all of this stuff. Right. But a lot of these guys who are killing, they're not felons. The mass murderers. A lot of these guys killed for the first time. At least as much as we know. They became mass murderers when we first heard of them. And they were not felons.
Creating a false impression because the type of mass shootings that get the clicks are schools, right? But we have mass shootings in America all the time. They just don't get any media. Murder has become white noise. Like in Houston, there's murders all the time. Half of them don't even make the news, right? It's horrible how much violence. And cops need to be policing that shit. They don't need to be writing fucking tickets and busting people for drugs. But we can't just say, hey, we're not going to do anything, right? And see, that you have these two sides, right? You have the conservative, far right, who don't want any laws, right? Just want it fucking wide open. Right. And then you have the progressives who want to strip everyone of law-abiding citizens of their ability to get guns. In cities like San Francisco, you can't buy a gun because all the gun stores have been run off. And then you have the real crazies, the Alex Joneses, right? I have no patience. Like, I'm on talk radio and I've been told I can't talk about people on talk radio anymore, but he's just a podcaster. Right? But I have no patience for the people that subscribe to this nutty shit, this crisis actor, this false flag bullshit. When there's people's children fucking killed, right?
As a crisis actor?
Well, that's what Alex Jones is, and then the whole narrative about it was all fake.
Oh, that was a real thing. That happened in Newtown, right? We had
no. They were the Newtown people were fucking horribly attacked, man. It was awful.
We literally had one of those guys actually end up moving into town. He moved across the street from the fucking school.
The actor.
No. The guy who claimed that all the dead were conspiracy theory. So the conspiracy theorist who said that all the dead kids were all just child actors.
Right. And then like, I can't,
they're just totally just
like,
out
I can't
there,
see how like Alex Jones there. Does Rogan and any of these people that put the parents who lost children at Sandy Hook through years, decade of hell. Like there was an article today about how some woman is proud about her persecution. Or it was maybe a man. I think it was a woman. Her persecution of these fake Sandy Hook parents. And it's horrible that people said this shit, right? But now people want to treat Alex Jones like he's a normal dude, right? No.
What did Joe Rogan say?
Now, Joe Rogan's had Alex Jones on a few times, okay. Right? And I don't think you can accept it. I don't think, and Alex Jones's testimony was simply, oh, well, you know, it's a character. I don't know if it's like character acting or performance art or whatever the fucking bullshit it was, right? But what he did was he subjected parents who had their children murdered to hateful conspiracy people claiming that it was all a fucking lie. And that shit makes me crazy, right? But I mean, we need to find solutions.
We even had one lady who is Soto. Her sister was actually shot in that classroom. She was doing a 5-run K for charity, right? To like raise money for the families because everything that happened.
Right.
Some psychopath actually ran up to her sister. You know, God, I forget her first name, but her last name was Soto. And her sister was running in that 5K, ran up to her and said, your sister never died. She was never shot. I mean.
And somebody should have beat the shit out of that person.
There you go. Maybe that's where you get your good cops from. Is they probably tackled that dude, took him down and hauled him away. But I mean, the fact that somebody, who in their right mind thinks that that's.
People are already saying that about Uvalde. That it was.
No, I already predicted that. Yeah. I already predicted that stuff. So I was talking to my state legislator, you know, and Tom Oliverson, and I was already telling him, it's like, this is everything that's going to happen. I already gave him the roadmap and the timeline of everything that's going to happen. First, you're going to have this. Now, the biggest thing that's going to happen in that poor town is that all those EMTs and all those people that were there that day, they're never going to be able to work again. Think about that. Every cop, now whether you could talk about the ones that didn't do anything, but even the ones that try to go in and the border patrol, yeah, those guys will probably never be able to work again in their lives.
See, I think you cannot
go through the horror of seeing that kind of carnage without being affected for it.
Oh, no,
I've seen grown men. I think, yeah. There were grown men that were part of the EMT within Newtown. I've never seen such broken men in my life.
Well, it's just like men that go to war. And then we abandon them when they get back from war. We have all these veterans that see horrible carnage, right? And then they get back here and we're like, there's hurdle after hurdle.
But even the veterans can at least justify their actions because they're at least doing it against another, you know, adult that's maybe that's the enemy.
I mean, these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were wars in people's houses.
Exactly. But I think, you know, when you look at somebody who's in a military situation, you know, I'm not saying that they're trained for that because it definitely isn't. But, you know, there's going into the military, especially within a combat unit, I think you're going to expect to see a lot of death. I mean, nobody's who are you kidding? But I don't think when you're going to be in like a 16,000 population town like Uvalde, you're not expecting that, right? You're expecting, okay, you know, Johnny Smith had the heart attack.
We need to do something for them. But I do think a lot of people can heal from that kind of trauma personally. But the
amount of resources that are needed in order to like maintain, because this isn't going to be something that you're going to go see a shrink for like a month or two you're good. And like, okay, off you go, right? The amount of resources that are going to be needed in order to just get these people on a functional level to function in day-to-day society is just enormous.
So you think we should raise taxes to provide more help for them?
One thing I would like to see done, and I know this sounds cold and sounds kind of crazy, but you know, and it drives me nuts, but I've seen it and I've lived it, is when I saw that school and all that garbage that was put out in front of the school, you know, teddy bear here, you know, balloon there. Yeah, that makes you feel good. But you know what would have been better? You take that $50 and donate it to the school and tell them, hey, help these guys out and actually put it, right? Because now you're making yourself feel better and you're actually doing good with that money as opposed to just, because think about it.
What if they did do that? What if they did both?
If they did both, that's even great.
But would you agree with raising taxes to provide more secure schools and more mental health services?
If that's what it takes.
Okay.
I mean, look, I mean, it's, but
I'm glad to hear that. Like a lot of white Americans, right? I mean, I think we could solve it all with austerity and make the government stop wasting money and spend it where they need.
Well, that's my point.
But a lot of white America wants to talk about doing shit, but they don't want to do the shit necessary to do the shit, right? And not just white America, but it is. I mean, when you talk about conservatives, it's almost what like 95% whites. And you know, the thing is, we need to be less wasteful. But we got to start helping. Like this is an experiment that's gone on because it was all started before we were born. We don't see it as an experiment, but this was an experiment in liberty. And when it began, it was an experiment just in liberty for white men, right? Mm. Just white men. And it's slowly expanded, right? And now we've got to the point where it seems like in society, we're not even trying to get post-immutable characteristics, right? We're just dividing into groups and hating each other. But this collectivist experiment was designed to do things for the benefit of everybody fucking here, right? And it seems like we're worrying less and less about how we make life better for all Americans, right? Instead, we're trying to divvy us up, get us to hate each other because we're easier to control if we fucking hate each other. And we need to start talking about what we need to do to demand our government has solutions. And if it's pay more fucking money, sure, but let's see a fucking solution. But then when everyone thinks I harp too much on the war on drugs, but that's a big first fucking step, right? It's a big first step to repairing the damaged relationship or the relationship that never existed between poor communities of color and poor white communities, right? And communities of color generally and law enforcement. When you say, you know, we're not going to search your car and treat you like a scumbag anymore unless we think you've killed somebody or you're running away from a crime.
Well, what's changed, right? I mean, this is always the thing that gets me, right? What's changed? I mean, look, you know, prior to the 19, you know, look, there's been mass shootings going back in this country for a while, right? Look, we had one in UT Austin. I don't know if anybody remembers that one, right?
I think everybody knows. Yeah.
The bell tower. But, you know, that, but prior to that, right? What changed? I mean, you just didn't have the amount of gun violence that you have even within the streets. I mean, I think a lot of the war drugs have
flooded America with guns since the 50s.
Well, but a lot of more people had guns in their homes than they ever back then than they do now.
Right.
Right. I think the war on drugs has definitely had a major impact to that, right? Because I always look at this as, so if a deal goes bad, I have to go to street justice, right? I can't go to the cops. I have to take matters in my own hands, right? Because that whole respect thing, right? You can't, you know, cheat me out of this whatever deal that we had.
If you're engaged in illegal commerce, you can't seek the government to help you. But the war on drugs was designed to do two things, raise money and oppress black people, right? I mean, that's it. And they've oppressed a lot of white people too as a result of it. I guess oppress the poor and people of color the whole seizing drug funds. That's what it's all about, right? And we just need to end the war on drugs with the exception of the narco-terrorists, right?
Well, asset forfeiture is that's a whole nother level, right?
And I've had the government, not our government, the North Wales try to steal my fucking money. Yes, sir.
How do we stop? What is the answer? What do you believe is the answer to gun reform? Like you said, there has to be an answer. We have no choice but to come up with an answer. I think,
one, we can start making our cops enforce the existing gun laws about people that aren't allowed to have guns. We need to change the background check loopholes for gun shows and other sales. We need to make it criminal. We don't need to make people, like if you give a friend a gun, we don't need to require that to be a background check. But if that guy does something fucked up with it, or if he's someone that's not allowed to have a gun, well, then you have a criminal consequence. So put everybody's skin in the game. If you own a gun and you let someone else gets their hands on it, and I'm not talking about someone breaks in your home and crowbars your safe, right? I'm saying, you know, we need to take the effort, but we don't need to restrict law abiding. I mean, the thing is, We want to have, it really seems like the government is telling the citizens, we need to expect less response from the police. I mean, literally, when you call 911 or 911, they tell you if it's less than $5,000, go report online. That's fucking insane. So less response from the police, but you can't arm yourself, right? Like when my daughter went to Harvard, I was driving all our shit up there, right? And I don't even know I caught a wild hare. But like when I was at Harvard, I knew, like I had been a policeman. Right. And I couldn't even, me and my wife and kids lived in Harvard owned housing. I couldn't even have a gun in the fucking house. Right. So I went from carrying a gun all the time to not having a gun at all. Right. But I'm driving up there and I'm in Alabama and I decided to pull over and look at the law, and you can have pepper spray, but you can't buy it.
What the fuck?
You can't buy it in Massachusetts as a whole. So I pulled into an academy and I bought every fucking type of pepper spray because I got a beautiful daughter. Right. And I know if she's running around, I want her to have pepper spray on her. Why the fuck would the state of Massachusetts tell women they can't protect themselves? And we don't need to tell Americans they can't protect themselves, right? Law abiding citizens, we shouldn't tell them you can't do it, or do like San Francisco and hyper regulate it to where all the gun stores close. There is a middle ground, right? Background checks on every gun sale, even if it's a gun show, whatever, in the fucking loopholes.
Not to cut you off, but what happened with San Francisco?
Well, so what San Francisco did was they made the regulation so serious, both for ammunition and for gun stores, that it wasn't economically viable for stores to open. So you be open. So all the gun stores closed. So you got, if you're a citizen of San Francisco and you want to have a gun in your home, you got to leave your city to go get it, right? And I mean, we need to have, law-abiding citizens need to be able to protect themselves, period. Right. We need to start enforcing the laws on the books. We need to close the loopholes. I believe in red flag laws, but I also believe there should be a serious criminal consequence if it's abused, like you said, by a girlfriend. Her ass should go to fucking jail. Right. And we need to spend the money necessary to make schools safe and change paradigmatically, change policing so cops only function is to protect us citizens from the monsters. We can't pretend monsters don't fucking exist. But also to your point, Willie, if it's a menacing cop, he needs to be fucking trained to not be menacing, or he needs to be fired, right? I mean, we want some menacing cops, right? Well, like we want the SWAT team motherfuckers to be menacing, but they shouldn't be the motherfuckers at school, right? The guy at school should be, or the woman at school should be the nice one. But that knows how to use their fucking gun.
They need to be the nice ones like the ones at the Jewish schools, because I can guarantee you, I bet you a dollar to a donut,
they're waving at everybody.
Those cops that are at those Jewish schools are part of the Jewish community, and I guarantee.
Well, no, I would bet the cops working extra jobs aren't part of the community,
okay.
But I think they hired them, rather, and they're hiring people privately that are nice, right?
I'll go with that. Okay, so at the very minimum, they're nice to those kids when right. They're at this, because the Jewish people are not going to have their asses in there.
But that's the middle ground. Like you're saying, they're not going to be in their fucking shit. Cars.
You come in there.
And the opposite is they're menacing, but there's a middle ground where you say, no, motherfucker, you're going to be nice to these kids. You're going to wave to them. You're not going to try to bust them for a sack
kick
of weed. You're not
going to
write them
out.
A ticket, right? You're going to let the teachers handle the bad kids.
These kids
right?
scared and traumatized.
But conversely, did y'all see that video last week? I think it was a Chicago area school. They're in the gym. And like five dudes break out fucking AKs and shit in the gym. They're fucking, hey, we all got fucking heaters, you know, we're all, you know, and that's fucking crazy, right? Like all the other kids in that gym, how terrorized must those fucking kids have been, right? And I mean, we need to, and the white racist loves to talk about, oh, well, it's a broken home or it's this and this and making a thing about color, right? But it's not, it's about the legacy of poverty. We need to be builder safer schools. We don't need less police. We need better police. We need impoverished communities. There are people in some neighborhoods in Houston, in some neighborhoods in Chicago, some in LA, New York, they don't feel safe going to fuck outside. So there should be a policeman standing on that corner. But his job shouldn't be to bust people for weed or fucking write people tickets for speeding. It should be to make sure everyone feels safe from the bad guys in the neighborhood. Because every neighborhood has bad guys, right? And I'm not talking just neighborhoods of color, but all neighborhoods have criminals. And when I say criminals, I mean people that steal from other people, people that victimize other people.
People that break the law.
Well, no, but the law, there's too many laws, right? the reason why cops bust people for drugs, because it's easy. Most drug holders, most drug possessors, it's only for them.
fucking a little less than a gram is a felony. You get you a felony arrest by fucking you search 10 done. Cars.
You get a felony, you're done, right? But again,
you search 10 cars, you find one bag of drugs.
It's not that many people doing drugs, man. These people are planting drugs also.
Maybe it's just the lawyers.
They're planting drugs. They're planting drugs also. That's a big problem.
But let's just take it out of the drug business, yeah. Right? Let's say if you want to, narcotics should only be focusing on fentanyl and this shit. And like people say, oh, these opioids, it's a white crisis. That's why white people care now. No, if you look at the numbers of the black community of dying from fentanyl, it's actually higher than any other community. It's fucking heartbreaking.
They don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right. Because people don't know. They just see a pill, right? That's what cops need to fucking do, right? And it's just, but no one's having these conversations because what the government has us doing is it has us fucking divided, right? Divided by race, divided by religion, divided by faith, divided by all this fucking shit.
And they want us to region.
Right. Like, why do we care who's fucking who, right? Yeah. Why do we care what people are snorting? If somebody wants to pay somebody to fuck somebody, who cares as long as there's no coercion, trafficking, or rape? Government shouldn't be in that fucking business, right? And focus the government again, maybe not again, probably for the first time. Focus the government on making our lives better. Term limits. Stop letting these motherfuckers go to Washington and fucking spend their lives there. Why is the Biden family so fucking corrupt? Because they've been allowed to be, right? The problem with Trump was he was just more brazen about it, and he said a bunch of ugly, mean shit. But he was allowed to divert a bunch of money. Both parties are doing the same shit. And now, America, with these January 6th hearings, our economy's fucking collapsing. Crime is at a fucking apex.
And can't nobody go to jail for this shit.
Gasoline is fucking out of control. But that's what they want.
Well, the government print too much freaking money.
Well, they did.
That's what it comes down to, man. They printed like crazy.
I lost $250,000. I didn't lose. I didn't sell it. I lost $250,000 in the market yesterday, man. Just evaporated, right? That's about design, right? Because they want the middle class and the upper middle class and the poor class. And they just want this little group of fucking oligarchs controlling all of us, man. And we all need to start saying, hey, fuck no, 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 no. We want you motherfuckers focused on those of us that get up and go to work every day and pay our fucking taxes, and that's it. We want to be safe in our communities. We want to have affordable housing, affordable gas, and affordable food so we can have a little fun while our tax dollars are funding all of y'all fucking partying and doing whatever the fuck you do in Washington. But nobody does it. We're only going to get there with term limits and more than two parties.
Well, the problem with term limits is that the guys that get in there are going to have to put in the term list to turn themselves out.
Exactly, and that ain't going to happen. Yeah.
They're going to have to put on the term list to turn themselves out.
Just like with the gun issue is like nothing will happen because the lobbyists control Congress. Our Congress is bought and paid for. And as long as that continues to happen, hey, man.
You're fucking right.
Well, we're on our own out here.
The lobbyists only control it because there's so much that the Congress controls. If the Congress doesn't control it, there ain't nothing to buy.
Congress got to make sure that they can control it so they can continue to get the checks from the lobbyists.
Right. Shit, I know somebody. I know somebody that's $400,000 donated to his campaign by the NRA. Bleep that NRA out because I don't want them to get him no fucking pub. And you can beep Ted Cruz out too.
Yeah, that's another one of those. What do you call him, Scott? Bitch ass pussy.
That's
fuck Ted Cruz. He's bitch ass. Bitch ass pussy.
Ted, did you hear that?
I'll say it again. Let me say this. Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Is a bitch ass pussy.
Ted Fled, man.
There's plenty of bitch ass, but Joe Biden, bitch ass pussy too, right? I mean, there's plenty of these motherfuckers.
Don't forget Trump.
Man, I'm having buyer remorse with Joe Biden.
But you knew that
he ran America into a ditch.
I did, man. But God damn.
I mean, you know, it was anybody but Trump, and then when that anybody got in, it was the race was on the
game. Willie, do you think America would be in as bad a shape it is now if Trump would have won?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah? No.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I got to agree with Scarpa. I mean, I didn't support Trump. I didn't vote for Trump. I didn't support or vote for Joe Biden either.
Trump ain't got the power, and Biden ain't got the power. They all control. They're all controlled by the oligarchy. So they,
where the fuck is the oligarchy at then? What's his fucking number?
They're controlled. They're all controlled. So we're going to move this. The elite, the ones way up here say, okay, this is the direction we're moving into. And if you don't move into that direction, we're going to have two X's on Elm Street for your ass, just like we had for Kennedy. That's how it go.
Hey, man, I really want to thank you guys for coming out.
Of course.
We appreciate your time. And the dialogue was just fucking amazing. You know, learned a lot. I'm sure Willie learned a lot, too, because it was some shit being said in here that I had no idea. And you say San Francisco don't have no gun.
It's my understanding there's no gun stores in the city.
I had no fucking idea.
Chicago was like that for a while, too.
Chicago got, they must
But have, they got all the guns.
They got
somehow.
All the guns now.
Well, they get them from outside of right. Chicago.
The police get the kids the guns out in Chicago.
Gun control, I mean, guns are a big issue in America, but America's biggest issue is morality.
Morality?
Lack of morality. That's right. That's
America. I think people
that's
are
America's not, biggest
I think people
problem.
Are moral, right?
And I don't no, think we need to... no, it's compassion. It's damn near at a zero. Yeah. If we had if we had a better moral compass and compassion for one another, we're not in this position at all. We're not nowhere near where we are with this. That's my two cents, fam. Hey, I appreciate y'all for coming in, man.
No, I appreciate
Thanks for having us.
No more talk.
This episode was produced by A. King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.